How many of you has had an extremely relaxing week this week? For all of you that says yes, we're going to have a deliverance ministry later. But you, I mean, seriously, I was sitting there last night thinking and listening, and I got to thinking about, you know, I wonder what the mood of Israel was on that first Passover. Did we think that it was a relaxed day for them? Not at all. And you know, sometimes I really wonder if Yahweh allows things during this week, you know, for us to, I mean, no comparison to what they literally went through, but, you know, because sometimes mental stress is a lot worse than physical. And it seems like if it can come unraveled, this week's the week it can come unraveled. And it's almost like he just does it just to give us a little small taste of a little bit of mental suffering. Now, some people suffer physically, but I'm saying overall, you know, for us this week has just been a lot of just uncontrollable, aggravating moments. Have you ever wondered why it seems like before Yahweh moves in your life, there always seems to be some type of chaos or disorder? Amen? You know, whether it's at work, whether it's in your finances, you know, your health, relationships. How many of your spouses had some arguments this week? One honest one. And a lot of looks. But let me ask you this. What if that's a normal part of creation? Now I'm getting the crazy looks. What if it's a normal part of life, literally, BJ, that was established at creation? That before Yahweh does something mighty in our life, there always seems to be some type of disorder. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "In the beginning Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and what was there? Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh was moving over the waters." In the midst of darkness, I know we've heard these teachings like this many times, but in the midst of that darkness, Yahweh was able to move and create order out of disorder. So from the very first verses of the Bible, we see a chaotic condition of the earth. I'm going to ask a lot of questions today that I've asked myself recently. Have we ever went into anything in our life believing that it was Yahweh's will for our life? We hear that thrown around a lot. I believe it's the Lord's will. And then all of a sudden, things start falling apart. What's usually the first thing that comes to our mind whenever we step out in faith on something, and all of a sudden everything seems to be going against us? Was it really Yahweh? I mean, can we be honest in here? Is that usually not our first reaction? Okay. Do we realize, and mainly I'm asking myself this, do I realize that that mindset, that way of thinking is what got Israel in trouble? It caused them to fall into doubt and start complaining. Now, I want to read two scriptures real quick. The first one's going to be Exodus 12, 29. I'll start reading verse 28. Let me know when you get there. It says this, "Then the sons of Israel went out and did so." This is in regard to the Passover sacrifice. "Just as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now, it came about at midnight." Came about at midnight that Yahweh struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt and the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeons, and also the firstborn of the cattle. I want you to go to Acts 16, 25 real quick. And it says this, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to Yahweh, and the prisoners were listening to him. And suddenly there came an earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened." Does anybody see a parallel between those two scriptures? All right, let's backtrack, and I'm going to try to tie these in. And I know people, just like myself, wondering, how am I going to tie those two opposite scriptures in? To be honest, I really don't know. I got to some of this morning, but in both of these stories, by the point that we're at in the scripture reading here, they've already reached a point of what, release or freedom. We know that Israel's been where they were in captivity for a couple of hundred years, and Paul and Silas had just been thrown in a prison. But I want to go back a little ways to Exodus 4, and I want to go back to the call that Israel received. And I want to try to build something this morning. Try not to be very long. Exodus 4:29. I'm going to start in 29, and it says, "Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which Yahweh had spoken to Moses. Then he performed the signs in the sight of the people." And it says in verse 31, "So the people believed, and when they heard that Yahweh was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshiped him." This was the first time that I can find where Israel as a whole, as a people, was told that Yahweh was going to bring them out of Israel. So what happens is Aaron and Moses repeats everything that Yahweh told Moses in front of the burning bush. And if you go back and read the story, all those details are there. So here they are gathered up and they hear this word, Terry, and they receive a call from Yahweh. And this call excited them so much that look at the verse that says that they believed the word and they bowed and began to worship. And then after that, almost immediately, when you follow this story all the way through the Passover, challenges started. Sometimes when we are called, we're not really expecting the challenge. You know, sometimes the excitement, when you think about these people being excited about what they were just told, the last thing they thought was fixing to happen was all these, number one, that Pharaoh was fixing to drastically turn on them and increase their labor tenfold, and then they've got to witness all these plagues. But they didn't realize that the challenge was also preparing them for their calling. Anybody that feels like that they've been called for any type of ministry or whatever for the Father, one thing that's always a common theme that I hear from them is they wasn't always expecting things to get hard like it did. Because think Yahweh chooses me to go in to minister to people or whatever the ministry, whether it's dancing, whatever it is, and you start facing challenges. Sometimes those challenges are preparing us for our call. You see, on this day, 3,500 years ago, at about midnight, Israel was freed from their bondage. They marched out of Egypt into freedom, but before that freedom, there was a call. And before the call to freedom, from the call to the freedom was chaos. And I just kept replaying that slogan in my mind over and over this week, you know, as I was praying and trying to get things together. And it hit me. I'm like, man, I'm living this right now. Because ever since we made the decision to sell our home and pursue another piece of property, because we felt like that was the right thing to do, we felt like the timing was right. And I'm not going to make this a story about us, trust me. But I'm just letting you know that it tricked in my mind yesterday, Mark. We've even had discussion. Why? It seems like everything that we're doing, even though we feel like what we're doing is in the Father's will, there's always something that's just getting in the way. And it's something to make me have to slow down and just let it go. Just trust that, you know what, it's... Because everything is uncontrollable. I mean, I wish I had time to fill some of y'all in on the story, but I've had to live it. And I'm sure that somebody in here can relate to what I'm saying. So my next question is this. Do we have a praise to sing at midnight? Or are we going to pout at our problems? Do we have a praise to sing at midnight, or are we going to pout? And see, I want to know what it was that Paul and Silas had in them. That's what I want. That was when I started studying Acts 16 a few months ago. When I read verse 25, and I see that here they are in prison, they're thrown in jail unjustly, and what is it? Because midnight is not always a time frame that I'm talking about. I'm talking about midnights so that's trials and testings in our life. Places that the Father puts us after the call that is for a purpose. Let's flip back to Acts 16 and we'll go through this story real quick. When you go through the book of Acts up to this point, how many would agree there was a buzz in the air at this time? The Holy Spirit was moving on people's hearts. The number of believers in Yeshua was growing on a daily basis in mass numbers. First, in chapter 16 is where Paul picks up, and when he goes to Derbe and Lystra, he meets a young man named Timothy. We all know this story to where they start passing through all the cities in this area. They're relaying the decree that was given in Acts 15 on concerning, you know, the Gentiles that were coming in. And then for some reason, the Holy Spirit had forbidden them to go into, where was it? Asia. Yeah, Asia, excuse me. And then in verse 8 of chapter 16, it says, "And they were passing through Mysia. They came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that," what's your scripture say right there? "Yahweh had called us to preach the gospel to them." So here we see Paul receiving a call. So him and Silas hop on a ship and they head into Philippi, which is a city in Macedonia. And then when they get there, they meet up with these group of women. Undoubtedly, the only thing I can figure is in this area there were no synagogues, because you see on the Sabbath day they went out to a hilltop and that's where they held some prayer time. And they meet these women, Lydia. And then there's this slave girl that's following around that has a spirit of divination that's going around, and it ends up annoying Paul. Okay, just for those who's not familiar with the story, he goes and he casts this spirit out of her, and the people of that town ended up beating these guys. Go ahead and throw the picture up, Levi. Found this little cartoon picture just to have a little visual. That way we don't think they sent them into one of our Holiday Inn jails that we have today, okay? These guys, let me read verse 22 real quick. "The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of Paul and Silas and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And having received such a command, they threw them into inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." So what I want us to visualize here is this is probably not even anywhere close to what it really looked like, because a lot of times these jails were dark dungeons, and Paul and them were not at a high point spiritually at midnight when they began to sing and praise the Father. Just think logically. They get up with Timothy. They're going around all these congregations, strengthening and encouraging them. They're seeing the numbers go up. Do we think that would probably have been a pretty emotional high for us? They're seeing people saved every day. And can you imagine the joy that these guys are feeling? And then they know they have this restriction for whatever reason that they can't go in and preach in Asia. And then all of a sudden the Father gives him a vision in the night, takes them out of a comfortable spot and sends them into Philippi, and this is where they end up. It seems like almost immediate. I'm just going to be honest with you. At that point in time, I'd probably be thinking, I missed it. I don't think this was the Father. Why does Yahweh allow midnights in our lives? To reveal our mindsets. Like I said, you think about this dark hour in jail. Paul and Silas's true mindset was revealed. Because Paul was pretty bold out on the streets. Now he's sitting in prison in the middle of the night, probably cold and wet, feet and hands bound, beaten. and they were able to praise. Why were they able? These are questions I'm asking myself. Why do, when I visualize myself right there, I visualize pouting and griping, blame? Yeah, because my mind, and the reason it's not right is because what these guys put in their heart during daylight, that's what comes out at midnight. They didn't let all the obstacles that they faced steal their joy out of their heart. And I've shared this with people before. That's what happens to me when things don't go right. And there's emotional battles. I allow that to throw me off track. Because what midnights do to me is it zaps my energy. And it puts me in a spot to where I don't want to read, and I don't want to pray, and I don't want to be around people that do sometimes. All I know how to be is real. But I want to know how they did it. They were full of the Word. Why were they able to praise? You know, how many of us, have you ever thought about, have you ever wondered what were they singing? I know I have. What were these guys singing? What was the praises? And from my state of mind, they're in a bind and they're throwing up a flare prayer. But is that true? Was this just some random time that he looked over and tapped Silas on the leg and says, I think this may be a good time to shout because things ain't looking too good, old brother? I don't think so. Let me read something for you. The ropes of the wicked have encircled, but I have not forgotten your word or your law. At midnight, I shall arise. And see, that's the hardest time. That's the hardest time to praise him. Is when we're in the middle of a midnight. It's easy when we're hanging out with Timothy and we're seeing souls saved and we're seeing people filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized to get in the groove and praise. But Terry, it is hard for me when I'm here mentally to sing praises. And I'm realizing that it's because during the high points, I don't keep myself full. And I know I taught on this subject at Sukkot about keeping ourselves full and with his word. But I think what I've done is put myself even further in a wilderness. Because I thought I knew what dry was. These scriptures give us hope. They give us hope. Because if they can do it, I can too. If I can remember that even when the cords of the wicked have encircled me, that I will not forget your law. You know, this is the Paul that done away with the law. But yet he's, is it a coincidence that it says, at midnight I shall arise? I was so excited to realize that this was probably not just some random prayer. And there's many other scriptures that make this reference. So if you take in the scripture, I know we've heard it taught that there sometimes there's dual interpretations. Literal and figurative. Is it possible that this is talking beyond just setting our alarm clock for 12 a.m. and waking up and praying? Or is this telling us something that if we keep ourselves full, that even at midnight, when we've been encircled and we've been in prison and we've been beaten down, that I shall arise and give you thanks? Why? Because your righteous ordinances. This is something I have forgotten. But also, and that was Psalm 119:62. Showed me something, or I spoke something else in my heart last night. Sometimes our midnights are not about us at all. Amen? Sometimes it's not even about us. Sometimes it's for the deliverance of others. Let me read verse 26 through 30 real quick. Acts 16. It says, and suddenly there came an earthquake. How often we see that Yahweh likes to move in a suddenly. Things are going wrong, and all of a sudden, suddenly. It's in them times when you're sitting there and you're reflecting, the time of reflection last night, you're reflecting on where am I at really? Am I really too far away or so far out of your will that you don't even hear me right now? And then a suddenly moment happens and I open my eyes and I visibly see the Holy Spirit all over my son, my firstborn son. And then it hit me that when we cry out to him in our midnight, sometimes Terry just suddenly he can just give us a little kiss just to show. Can anybody relate? Give him a praise. Amen. The foundations of prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed. And when the jailer awoke, he saw that the prison doors opened. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. How many realize that he took this that hard? Because if you were a jailer in Rome, yeah, this was bad news for you and your family and everybody else. Thinking that the prisoners had escaped. All right, now look. Back to us. If we were here, and all of a sudden, miraculously, the ground shakes and our chains are loosened, not only for all the prisoners. Is it time to bolt? Yeah. But look what he does. Paul cries out and says with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself because we are all here." Now, how much coaching do you think it took Paul to keep all those guys in there? Because I don't think all of them in there were full of the Holy Ghost. But for somehow or another, Paul says, we are all here. And they called for lights and rushed in, and with trembling and fear, the jailer fell down before Paul and Silas. And look at this. He brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And then I realized, you know what? Paul wasn't in Philippi to get out. He didn't see this opportunity of a miraculous jailbreak to bolt and run and tuck tail. He was there to get the gospel out. Even if it was in the middle of a dungeon at midnight, singing praises to his Father, and all those, what's it say? They were all listening. By Paul and Silas doing what they done, and by them being full of the word, and in their encounter of midnight, they brought deliverance for others. And the jailer in his house, his entire household, ends up getting saved because of the act of these two men. Do you know the words to "Great Is Thy Faithfulness"?
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You know, when we start maturing in life, you know, it seems like every year that, you know, that there's a different, instead of your taste buds changing, it seems like your mind, you know, just catches another notch. And you start looking back and, you know, and we start realizing how many midnights we've been through in our lives. Some of us more than others, but the point is we've all been through them. And when you look at what James says, you know, to consider it all joy when we endure these trials, we look back and see what we've been through and we thank the Father, you know, that it didn't kill us. But not only is James saying when we look back, but also when you face, when we see things coming, When we see it coming, we know that he's faithful. And even when I can't feel it, Terry, he's faithful. Because Paul and Silas decided to praise instead of pout, an entire Gentile family was saved. And when you look at the parallel to that in Exodus 29 or Exodus 12, because, you know, that same power of the same Elohim at midnight, a mixed multitude also came out with Israel. So I said all that to say this, my reactions and my lack of truly can affect people positively or negatively. And just remember that when things are not going our way in life, when you find yourself at midnight, look beyond ourselves sometimes. And I'm not standing up here as no saint at all. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling in my heart, that's a good time to have an attitude check. And the thing is in daylight, fill yourself up with his word. That's what my prayer is for myself right now, is to back off from the distractions of life and try to refocus myself, you know, in my home around his word and him using my kids to help steer me and give me a spark of fuel, and using people, you know, that speak into your life and listen to people because there's a few that's been just randomly giving me encouragement. And one in particular telling me that there's a purpose. And you know who you are, I just want to thank you. You never know what you're doing in people's life. Speak some of the smallest things. One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again.